Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 21. And if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind, or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. Note, as we come to chapter 16, we have the Passover. John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 29. On the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 35, again the next day, and verse 43, the day following, and we won't read all those days, but if you look through, I think there's 4 days that are mentioned. But verse 36 in particular, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. John's Gospel in chapter 19 and verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. Finally, Revelations and chapter 1. And verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, Amen. Well, my meditation today is certainly as briefly as we could be. I want to speak on some things that probably have had a tremendous effect on my life. In fact, it even changed the way I sign letters. I used to always write, Yours for our glorious Lord. But I always write, sign my letters now, Yours for the precious blood of the Lamb. You know, it's a lovely thing to come to the Gospel of John and note in that Gospel some remarkable things that are unique to John. It has been said that 95% of John is unique to John, but in Mark's Gospel, for example, 95% of Mark's Gospel can be found in the Gospel of Matthew. That's quite a remarkable thing. So John presents very unique things, and some wonderful things. You know, many years ago now, in my early years, I had difficulty with the Gospel of John in relation to the sequence of events that took place relative to Calvary. And I had a problem with that. And over a period of time, I sat there with my Bible, without commentary, without anyone's help, and I went through and I enjoyed putting some things together quite simply, because I'm not very capable as a student, but I enjoyed things in the Gospel of John that to me were absolutely tremendous. And as I mentioned when I was down in Tasmania, I phoned a brother a few weeks before going down there, and I had to ring him for an address. And I rang this brother, and I never speak to him on the phone. And I said to him, I was reading the Gospel of John, and I noticed for the first time that the side of the Lord Jesus Christ was mentioned in that Gospel, and it was only mentioned in John. It was mentioned 3 times. And I've been saved for more than 30 or 45 years, and this brother's been saved for, I think, more than 50 years. And you know, he said to me, he said, well, you wouldn't believe it, the same week as you found that, he likewise found that the side of the Lord Jesus Christ was mentioned in the Gospel of John and uniquely in that Gospel. So I felt some confirmation for my exercise, and I tell you, these things have been, though they're very simple, they've been very precious to me. Of course, it is interesting, isn't it, that it is said that 25% of John's Gospel is taken up with the upper room. 25%. Yet there's no institution of the Lord's Supper. There is no emblem of the bread and no emblem of the wine. Why is that? You see, you look at Matthew, Mark and Luke, there are words that the Lord Jesus Christ said that are exactly the same in those three Gospels. My blood, which is shed. Matthew, Mark and Luke, that is said. Why was it in the Gospel of the Lamb? This was not said, brethren and sisters. Why? Because the Apostle of John stood forth, and he was the one that made that great declaration of Calvary. In Matthew, Mark and Luke it is a symbol. But in the Gospel of John, he actually views the precious blood of Christ. And as I've said before, there is 91 verses written about Calvary by four Gospel writers. And there's only one mention of the blood of Christ. And that mention of the blood of Christ is in the Gospel, where you have the Lord Jesus Christ presented uniquely as the Lamb of God. Now when I came to this lovely verse in Deuteronomy, it was very precious indeed to my soul. And it was concerning the suitability of the lamb for sacrifice. And here we have three lovely aspects, and this tremendous number of triplets in John. Well, here's three lovely ones that we're going to try to see in this first chapter. If there be any blemish, as if it be lame, or if it be blind, or if it have any ill blemish. Three things are going to make this lamb unsuitable for sacrifice. Ye shall not offer it unto the Lord thy God. It is a requirement that is found in the Holy Scriptures. Well, I absolutely rejoiced. I can hardly sleep the night I was looking at John's Gospel, chapter 1. And there I see John with two of his disciples looking upon Jesus as he walked, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Brethren and sisters, what a Lamb. You see, let us go back to Exodus 12. Let us go back to Egypt. And they take a lamb. They take a lamb and they're going to keep this lamb in relation to its suitability. And they take it. And what's the first thing they're going to see about this lamb? They're going to look on it to see if it's lame. Listen, you can't always tell that the lamb's lame by looking at it. You can only tell the lamb's lame in the walk. And so, here is the Lamb of God. There is the Lamb of Egypt. And they're looking on a little lamb as it walks. And it's walking perfectly. It's not lame. And what does John do? As he stands and looking upon Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's walking, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now he qualifies that further by saying, "Well, that should have heard, shoe I'm unworthy to unloose. There's never been feet like this. There's never been a lamb like this. The Lamb of God's own providing. The Lamb of God, the spotless one, without blemish and without spot." What else was the second requirement? If it be blind. How do you tell if a little lamb is blind? Well, you put it there and you observe it. And then it walks along. You'll soon see it's blind, won't you? Depending upon how it walks. What did the Lord Jesus say to Nathanael? "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Or the Lord Jesus said that. Whence knowest thou me? Before that Philip called thee, whence thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. No one's ever seen like that. This is God's Lamb. A Lamb that was without blemish. A Lamb that was without blemish in not being lame. A Lamb that was without blemish in that it was seen. And how are you going to tell if it has any ill blemish? You're going to look closely at it. In this lovely first chapter, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Come and see. We're telling the world that, aren't we? We're still saying all these centuries later that there's none like him. None like him. No footsteps were ever like his. No sight was ever like his. Look closely at him. There's no blemish in my Lord. So that's three great views, if you like, that John has got and recorded. And what we want to do today is look at the seven great sights that John recorded in his writings. Seven, we're starting with three in relation to the Lamb of God and its suitability. But now we want to come across to Calvary itself. One of the lovely things about John's Gospel is that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. There's a door. What is the closest thing you can get to a door? The closest thing you can get to a door is a side post. What saved Israel in that never-to-be-gotten, forgotten night? What saved them? You say the death of a lamb saved them. Is that all? Well, you see a company, a family, take the blood of a lamb that's without blemish and put it in a basin and go and put it beside the door. Will that firstborn die? You know what the answer is. Hebrews will tell you, by faith Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. He did. It was a sprinkle blood. It was the blood that was seen by God. It was the blood that was seen by deity. That was a testimony to the fact that a lamb had died. Do you think it was necessary for the blood to be seen at Calvary? Brethren, as I've got this in the Gospel of the Lamb, as I've got chapter 1, the Lamb without blemish, the Lamb that was without blemish, and that he could walk and that he could see and there's no ill blemish, I believe that I've got at Calvary the precious blood of Christ that was seen. Now, I had difficulties with this, and I want to just tell you how I overcame them. It was suggested to me a number of years ago that the Lord Jesus Christ shedding of blood was like the Martha Stephen. And I thought to myself when I went home and read about that and read about the prophets and their shedding of blood, I thought it was interesting comparison. It was. And you probably might well think that the death of Stephen is very much related to the death of the Lord Jesus. But was it? You know, brethren, there's the last few words of the death of Stephen that makes the death of Stephen absolutely different to the death of the Lord Jesus. And I tell you what it is. It says this. that he, the martyr, fell asleep. And a man that falls asleep is a man out of control. My Savior, the Lamb of God, never fell asleep. He laid down his life. And the death of my Savior, the Lamb of God, is totally different to the death of the martyrs. And the death of the martyrs, and the death of the prophets. And the cenotaph down the road that says this, they shed their blood on the battlefield for king and country. My Savior died a unique death. He died a death that wasn't because he shed his blood. That's the reason. My Savior, as he says in the Gospel of John, I lay down my life. No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. The Lord Jesus Christ never lost his life because of a soldier's spear. And if the soldier pierced his side before he died, he'd have died because his life ebbed away because his blood was shed. My Savior cannot link with the Lamb of Egypt in that way. He laid down his life for us. Thank God for that. But I want to come back very quickly to the side pass. And I suppose this was the most precious thing in my little consideration. I looked at the side post in Egypt. And I counted up how many times it's recorded that the blood was applied, or to be applied, as the scripture says. And three times the divine record in Exodus says about the blood being on the side post. And remember, that's right beside the door. And I asked myself, could I link the door? He who said, I am the door, with the side post. Could I do that? When I went to John's Gospel, I counted that his side is seen three times. Three times it is seen. Three times is the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who said, I am the door. He who, John said, is the Lamb. There's the side, measuring exactly to the three times that you have a side post in Egypt. You see, and I speak carefully, it is the side of the one who said, I am the door in Egypt. In goes the family, looking upon the surroundings. Not the surround now. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about this proclamation? Well, it's a wonderful proclamation. You see, who could give this proclamation? Who could state at Calvary what he saw and place on divine record the only exhortation you have to do with Calvary and the Gospels, which exhort you to believe? In fact, I only discovered about a week ago that, you know, John took the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he's speaking to the Pharisees. He took those very words and he used them at Calvary. If you go back to the earlier chapter, you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ said that he bear record of himself, and his record is true. And he went on to say that he knoweth from whence he came, the record, the true record, and what he knew. And you know, those three aspects were the very aspect that John took upon his lips at Calvary when he saw the soldier pierce his side. And forthwith come there out blood and water. He that saw it bear record, his record is true, and what he said true, that ye might believe. And that was the greatest proclamation that you can have relevant to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and shedding of blood. Now I suppose I come to my difficulty. My difficulty was, how could this happen with a soldier's spear? In relation to the timing, how could I ever
replace this with the sacrifice of Christ.
Again to the verse earlier, the Lord Jesus said, "Ye could have no power at all against me, except it was given me from above." You know, brethren, when they put the nails in his hands and feet, if they were that much outer bone would have broken. And our faith is in vain. And likewise for the soldier's spear that pierced his side. Thank God no bone was broken. Those bones that knew the fire on Calvary in those hours of darkness that aren't referred to in the Gospel of John. Well, how am I going to accommodate this aspect of sacrifice? You see, the Holy Spirit of God made it easy for me. You know why? Neither shall ye break a bone thereof. That's the words in relation to the Lamb of Egypt. John says, as he quotes, "A bone of him shall not be broken." No broken bone. You see, the aspect of the sacrifice is still seen. And as a negative aspect of the death of Christ was fulfilled in relation to no bone being broken, thus, in the same way, a positive action was fulfilled at this time in relation to the blood that immediately flowed. Somebody says, "Well, it's just shallow, you know." That word for thrust is the same word that John uses in the Revelation for those that are not found written in the book of life to be cast into the lake of fire. Listen, Thomas's hand represents the size of the spearhead. "Thomas, thrust your hand into my side," the depth to which that penetrated. Brethren, don't minimize what happened at Calvary in relation to the spear. The final view, its seventh reference, of John's great sights that he beheld. "They shall look on him whom they pierced." They will. Do you know, nowhere else have you got in Revelation the pierced hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus. Nowhere else. The piercing of the side of the Lord Jesus is the only reference in Revelation relevant to Calvary. You know why? Because they never inflicted suffering on the Lord when they pierced his side. Oh, how precious that is. They never ever inflicted suffering on the Lord Jesus Christ when a soldier pierced his side, and immediately or forthwith came there out blood and water. There's no suffering in it. Well, why is it so significant? Why is it so significant? Let us go over to Zechariah just briefly, the second last book of our Old Testament. chapter 12 of Zechariah. And we'll read verse 10. "And I'll pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." See the interesting link with Egypt and the firstborn and the sorrow. Verse number 1 of chapter 13. "In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. What did the Lord Jesus say about his hands and feet? He said this. He says, they pierced my hands and my feet. They pierced my hands and feet. Before a soldier came with his spear, you're going to say he's already pierced? Oh yes, he is. They pierced my hands and feet. He's already pierced. Israel can already look upon one who they said away with him. He's already the pierced one. Brethren and sisters, when you read of the pierced hands and feet, you don't read of the blood that flowed immediately out. That's your fountain that was open. Brother Tom Bentley brought to our shores a lovely hymn. 30 years ago, the cleansing stream, I see, I plunge, and oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord! It cleanseth me! It cleanseth me! It cleanseth me! Brothers and sisters, there are millions of people throughout Australia today and billions throughout the world over and over again taking the precious blood of Christ in vain. And I trust, brethren and sisters, that we'll stand forth for the precious blood of Christ. And every time we hear it, speak of the loveliness of it and the power it is to cleanse. The fountain that was open for sin and uncleanness. I was in a leading Sydney hospital just a few weeks ago, and I was talking with one of the head people there in relation to blood flow. I asked her a question. I said, how do you explain that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his body they placed a spear and blood immediately came out? Can you explain that? She says it's a myth and a quirk of the Bible. She said, well, if our radio commentators are writing a book on these things, I said to her, he is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. There's no death like his. Absolutely unique. And thank God for the precious, precious blood of the Lamb. Your Lamb shall be without blemish. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Paul said, Christ, our Passover. Revelation, salvation to our God and to the Lamb, brethren, purchased at infinite cost. Purchased at such cost. Brethren and sisters, how many times do you have the Lamb in Revelation? How many times? 28 times. And I'm going to be with the Lamb. And the question that I ask myself, how many times have I stood beside John at Calvary and saw the blood flow and say it's true? The record is true. He knew what he said was true. I believe, as Thomas says, my Lord and my God. That's the Lamb of God's own providing. But brethren, I'm going to go closer than that. Closer than that. Who's walking in the midst of the lampstand of testimony? The Lamb is! How many times have you, at the breaking of bread, in faith, did what Thomas did? Thomas put his hand in faith, mind you, He didn't have to do it physically. In faith, he put his hand into the very wound of the side. The wound through which my Saviour never suffered. The wound that he shows his own and says, "Peace be unto you." Brothers and sisters, John recorded it. The Lord Jesus showed them and said, "Peace be unto you. Made peace through the blood of his cross." And then the third side view. The third side view. Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." Brethren, we're going to be with the Lamb forever. He'll ever be the freshly slain Lamb. And I'm glad that I saw things in my Bible that I'll never, ever forget.